Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Thursday, August 25th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you are doing well here on Terrible Tuesday. Chief Sports Network later today, lineup ITG. Preston Thorne is in. Mike Morgan is in again. Jamie Bradford will be back. Phil and I will be along. So it should be a good day. They extended the sale at On Three that I've been hammering. Here, I feel like I'm hammering. $29.95. Don't pay again until next year at this time, one calendar year from today, for the bigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com, all the transfer portal stuff that On Three owns, all the NIL stuff, this crazy crap in college football. If you even want to read it, I sometimes these pro players coming back, man, I don't even want to read about it. It kind of, you know, a lot of this stuff that's happened doesn't necessarily anger me. That kind of, I mean, I don't know about anger. It's a strong term, but it makes me sick to my stomach that what's happening. And then the SEC presidents yesterday released this statement coming out against pro players. And I'm like, well, was the LSU president not part of that discussion? I mean, you got the worst culprit sitting right in your room and you release some statement, you know, coming out against it and basically just saying, well, you know, we don't like it, but Congress needs to do this. Anyway, it's a big cluster, you know what, and not happy about it. And by the way, from the Gamecock standpoint, Ethan Johnson, I don't think was in an NFL. He didn't play in a preseason game or whatever. I think you get paid if you go to training camp regardless. I mean, everybody gets paid something. I don't know if he was in a mini camp or what, but I think the Gamecocks are pretty safe there. I think that, you know, with some other, you know, guys that had to clear waivers before they went back to college. I mean, that's some Rodney Dangerfield back to school kind of stuff right there. Anyway, that's not the topic for today, but On Three is all over that. And we certainly would love to have you come post on the Insiders Forum. Tell me hello. I will respond. I always do. If you join up today, $249 a month for a year, you're not going to beat that. And they've extended it through Labor Day weekend. So opening weekend of college football, you get all the coverage there too. And as I said many times, it's going to be an eventful academic year, 26-27. It's a critical one for South Carolina men's athletics in many, many ways. So there will be happenings that happen, win or lose, in all the sports. You get on around to Kevin Schnall's first year in baseball. Jamie Bradford's all over that from an insider perspective, and Jack Veltri covers it on the beat. Just really, really good stuff. Then also complete coverage today of Shane Beamer's press conference. He will meet with the media along with some players, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't looked at the release yet this morning, but so Shane will have a lot to say about the scrimmage and all that. One position that really stood out above maybe all the others in the scrimmage, there were a lot of individuals we talked about, was the defensive tackle room. Wes Mitchell mentioned it in his insider report last night in the evening. And that was not the only detail, obviously, but I think it's safe to say they had a good night. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, from what I was told, that the interior, you know, because the instant anything like this, and this is another case for preseason games or scrimmages against other teams, anything like this, coaches will tell you the same thing. It's not just fans. And you're like, well, you know, we like what the D tackles did, but are you worried about the interior of the offensive line? I tend to lean towards South Carolina's got a lot of depth and a lot of good players at D tackle this year. You know, some surprisingly so, to where, you know, it's going to be a handful. These guys are going to be a problem for just about every team they face, unless they play a team that's just great on the interior. I mean, you're going to look at South Carolina's defense and think, how can I neutralize these guys on the interior of the defensive line? And that's a good spot to have depth and talent, because through the years, you want to know the difference between South Carolina and some other SEC programs, like in the 90s and really for a while. I mean, you know, Nick Barrett, TJ Sanders, and Taka Hemingway all getting drafted was the first time this program has had three defensive tackles taken over the course of 2 years in the NFL draft ever, like that we can find. You may go back to the 50s when D tackles were 210 pounds or 195, but not in the modern era. And so Travion Robertson has done a great job of development. Of course, all of those guys were actually Beamer gets credit for Sanders and Bennett because, or Barrett, not Bennett, good Lord, Sanders and Barrett because they stayed, but they were committed to Will Muschamp. Of course, Taco Hemingway signed with Will Muschamp. Obviously, the staff developed them and turned them into NFL players, and Travion Robertson had a ton to do with that. And so that's been the difference through the years. You look back on it, South Carolina rarely had NFL type D tackles. Had some ends, had some edges, some linebackers through the years. Secondary's always been stellar. But you look back at those days where Carolina was really struggling in the SEC in the 1990s, and then you look at in-state recruiting. And there's a nugget about this year's group about concerning that. And Carolina, it was tough to sign them, even the sleeper guys. Carolina just, and that's back when Tennessee and Florida State and everybody else were coming into South Carolina taking players. So that's an interesting and significant development that this D tackle room is like it is. I think the transfer portal certainly helps. A lot of these guys are portal guys that came in. In fact, most of them at some point were portal. Even, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy obviously was here last year along with Troy Pikes, but all of them are portal. And that says something too, about, the financial end of things at Carolina, Garnet Trust and those folks doing a great job, Darren Usher managing it all. Those are expensive players. That's a premium position. Everybody wants them and needs them. If you remember last year in the offseason, Carolina really focused on D tackle and they got Brownlow Dindy and then they circled back on Pikes later and kind of won a bidding war with Georgia and Ohio State for him. But if you remember, there were some guys Carolina was in on and that a lot of them just went to Texas because Texas, Sark just loaded up on them. I don't know how they did last year, if it was worth it, but, that's a spot where it's like, right up there with corner or left tackle or quarter, not as big as quarterback, but you get my point. I mean, edge rusher, those are premium positions. You look in the NFL and those guys go in the top 10, the really good ones. So I think that's it being a premium position, given the history of recruiting at the position. Given the fact that they were able to go out and win battles and stockpile guys, all goes back to the way the roster under the leadership of Darren Usher has been developed and created here. Travion Robertson said he hand selected the three he got this year. Hand selected. That's good. That's an old Brad Lawing term, by the way. He used to use hand selected. So rest in peace, Brad. What a fantastic coach, and the knowledge he imparted to Travion Robertson certainly is paying off for the Gamecocks. But so the D tackles, it's kind of the focus of today. You never know how a position's going to match up once you start playing in the SEC and all that. But on paper, obviously, it looks good. If I were a betting man, and I am sometimes. $10 a game on my app sometimes. By the way, check out Polymarket. They're a partner of On3 now for the predictions and all that type of stuff. I would probably, of all the spots on the field, but based on the depth and the talent combination wise, combo wise, I would probably say that the least likely position to falter this year would be the D tackles. I hate to even say that. Because there's been times where it's like, oh man, what if they're not good against the run and the D tackles are going to get the blame and I look like a moron. The guy, there's a Clemson fan and we're convinced he lives in his mom's basement, but he takes everybody like Jamie Bradford, myself, guys I used to work with over at the old place, Wes, Chris, and he has a dossier. A dossier of Gamecock media. And I'm like, well, We could do the same thing for their media pretty easily. I mean, and it would be probably just as hilarious and full of half truths and all that good stuff. So I don't want, that's probably going in the dossier if I'm wrong here, but I feel very confident about this group of all the positions, and again, based on, the ability to survive whatever attrition comes, and there's none right now, in terms of injuries and guys being banged up and stuff like that. The fact that at this position you need to rotate constantly, it gives you a huge advantage to do it. And then, just the players they have in the room, very athletic, dominant type guys. So I think that if you're looking for certainty, you'll get none because it's college football. But if you're looking for a position to kind of feel warm and fuzzy about, it's definitely a defensive tackle, I think, at this point. And as far as depth goes, too, D tackle and receiver are probably the two deepest spots on the roster on either side of the ball right now. This is recruited very well, and it's primarily portal. But there are some high school guys that have come in and done a really good job. So we'll start with the starters and kind of go through it and the projected starters. I feel very confident these will be the starters, but you never know. It's all about competition and all that good stuff. So Tomiwa Adorajaye, the transfer from Illinois. I think when they signed him, because of South Carolina's history with him, he was a defensive end recruit. His path has been a lot like Travion Robertson's. Travion started the 2007 opener as a true freshman at defensive end. They called it defensive end in those days and not edge. So, and he was like, he was about 240, kind of a lot like Tomiwa. And, Tomiwa out of the state of Delaware, that's when they were recruiting Jordan Davis. They had Marshawn Lloyd on the roster, so you had some connections to Delaware. They were recruiting him. He went elsewhere. He was kind of down the board a little bit at the time for Sterling Lucas. I think Sterling Lucas. But Mike Peterson maybe was that class. It's Sterling Lucas. I don't know. But Tomiwa, went. He's been to five schools. He's been to West Virginia, Kentucky, Florida State, finally Illinois, and he's just grown and grown and grown as a player. This is a rare occurrence. A lot of times, guys that have to, that not have to, but they transfer that many times, that there's lo development is lost. But he got better and better. Illinois did a great job with him, and he's mentioned that over the summer. The strength coach, the position coach, they really got him going on the interior. And so he was on the upswing. And then I think the strength coach left, and that was his guy. So he got in the portal and ends up back at South Carolina, where he's very familiar with the program and Coach Beamer from being recruited back in the day out of the state of Delaware. So they got him. And I think a lot of folks, myself included, were like, oh, wait a minute, this guy's been to five schools. They passed on him out of high school. But with everything, there's context. It's because I was not a huge fan in high school. I didn't, and then he didn't play at Florida State. I mean, can't get on the field there. And of course, Sean Murphy was hurt, so that's probably not fair. But if you track his career and just look at it from the perspective of the Illinois Fighting Illini last year, he was really good in the Big Ten. Honorable mention, all Big Ten guy. Clayton White said in an interview over the summer with Pat DeMarco and Whit Merrifield on their podcast on 1801 Media, check that out, that he was a cross between TJ Sanders and Tonka Hemingway. I've heard him compared to Tonka. I haven't quite heard the TJ thing, but he's about TJ's size, about 6'3" and a half, 295, something like that. I heard athletic, strong, mean, tough. And he's a guy that since the spring has been, projected as a starter, and nothing's changed there. So there's a lot of confidence in him, and there has been since day one. So they're excited about him. And frankly, after what I've been hearing, and I love me a good defensive tackle, right? I'm very curious to see what's happening with him too. Now, the guy that probably people were more excited about when he came was Gabriel Brownlow Dindy because he was a five star. He wasn't a defensive end recruit out of Delaware that ended up going to Kentucky. He was a five-star guy, top 10 player in the country, signed with A&M, had an injury, didn't really mesh with the new D-line coach out there. And it's not because of him. It's just some guys need to be coached by certain guys in football. That's just, and they thrive in certain environments and don't in others. And that's been Gabe Brownlow Dindy. Now, last year, Gabe was, the first time really playing a whole lot at the college level. He didn't play a whole lot at Texas A&M, sort of like Monkel Goodwine the year before, and he kind of got his feet wet. He was banged up. He, what they call, flashed at times. Ole Miss game certainly comes to mind for him. I think he had a really good game out there. A lot of guys on defense had really good days that really good nights that night. It was just the offense was such a dumpster fire that overshadowed a gritty road performance by this defense, to be honest. But he, the whole thing with him, when you heard feedback to start with, was motor, got to get him to play mean. Darren Usher was on with us right after he signed on ITG 2 years ago, and said he, pound for pound, he's probably the best athlete on the team at that point in time. And that's what he was known for out of Lakeland High School in Florida, was just this gifted athlete at that size. He's about 6'3", 311. Somebody saw him in the spring and commented that he's out there, looked like a big SEC D tackle, was just wrecking stuff in a spring practice. The scrimmages went well. Then this go around, another person saw him at practice, said he looked like a man amongst boys. And then another piece of feedback I got over the scrimmage over the weekend was grown man. So that's good. That's the grown man thing. That's good. That's good because he's big. I mean, he's how you draw them up. That's why he was a five star. If he can even approach the ceiling that everyone universally thought he had coming out of high school, that's big for the Gamecocks because they're fired up about Tomi Wiah. They think he'll be fine. Then Gabe beside him, your two starters there, that could be havoc. That could be havoc. But there's more in this room. There's more. Kelby Collins, and this guy's a little, he's a little bit different as far as his history. He was a third team, second team freshman All-American as an edge at Florida. So like Tomi Wiah, he kind of grew on the inside. Second year at Florida, they did move him to the inside, and he didn't thrive at all. So he goes to Alabama. He's from Birmingham originally. His brother Drew is on the team and transferred in from Arkansas State. He is an edge. But Kelby played some. They run a lot of odd front three-man stuff at Alabama. So he's kind of an edge tackle-ish guy out there. Was not a starter, but played. Had some plays. He had a good play sack against Indiana, maybe. But the word on him coming out was again like motor and things like that from the Alabama side of things. And so he leaves. He comes to Carolina, and it's just been all business for him ever since. And this is another advantage of recruiting older guys. Tomi Wiah Adorijaiye is an older guy. He's been through the fifth school, man. And when you listen to him talk, it's about, this has got to be my best year. This is time for me to go out and play hard. And guys like that are motivated because it's like in football, the players that recognize that this does not last forever, unlike other sports, that it's going to be taken from you one day, and you've done this for most of your life, and you understand that it's up to you as to whether or not you play more, do it for a living, the game you love, and the ones that love it kind of understand this. The ones that don't, they end up not playing, but for both of these guys, Tomi Wiah and Kelby, and Kelby's got another year. That's, hey, let's go. It's go time. And ever since he got here, Kelby Collins has been doing that. I mean, he won the Gamecock Spirit Award. I mean, if you don't have a motor and you're not out there playing like your hair's on fire, you don't win that award. So there's a sign. And then the feedback from the first scrimmage for him was really, really good. Feedback from practices has been good. He's a little smaller weight-wise, like 280 or so. for the interior, but you can Clayton White did mention you can slide him out to edge. Now, most of the time he's been inside, just in full transparency. So don't expect, I wouldn't expect totally, unless they go to an odd front, him to slide out very much at all at this point. And that's primarily because they think the edges are doing well, specifically Julian Walker and Anthony Addison. So, and your Caleb Harry's doing fine too, but as far as like the new guys or newish guys, young guys, those guys are coming along. But Kelby Collins is right there, I think, in that third spot, behind Gabe and Tomiwa. And then you got some, three interesting dudes. You got Troy Pikes, who came on at the end of last year at a very good Clemson game. Obviously, I mentioned the recruiting battle. He's right there in that mix. Jordan Thomas is intriguing. Same kind of feedback. Of course, he was a top 100 guy out of New Jersey, just like Kelby Collins, who Carolina recruited very hard and was probably top three or four for, and Tomiwa, who they recruited out of high school. Jordan Thomas, he's from New Jersey, played at Don Bosco, but he had family connections to Columbia. They almost got him. But he was part of that wave of defensive tackles that just decided to go to Georgia, came out of Georgia and Carolina. There were probably about six of them at that point in time. And then just didn't play a whole lot, didn't play a ton. The feedback from Georgia I got was kind of similar to Kelby and Gabe Brownlow Dindy. It's like, well, motor, all the talent in the world has every chance to be great. And he comes in, and you start hearing his name more and more in the spring. And then the fall, you've heard it a lot. 6'5", 315, in an interview recently with Darren Usher. Usher said that he's how you draw him up in the SEC, and he is. He is. I mean, he's a fantastic looking athlete, and how SEC D tackles should look. Georgia has a ton of them, right? They always get them. But the play, there's a difference between prospect and player. As a prospect, he's this high ceiling, all that. He's coming into his own as a player, though. And that's Travion Robertson. That's player development. And it's almost like speed dating, speed development, speed dating during recruiting, and speed marriage, I guess. I don't know. That's probably not a good one, but he's done really well. And then, of course, there's the two freshmen. And Noah Clark is going to play a lot. He's been kind of one of the buzz players. People have been buzzing about bzz since spring. There's nobody else like him on the roster. 6'5". There's not probably not a lot in college football like him. 6'5", 340. I thought probably needs to reshape, a little bit. Maybe he can get on the field, goal line or something. And I think he's not only going to be on the field, he's going to be on the field quite a bit. He hadn't really reshaped. He's just been working, and he's just such a great athlete at that size. I think because some folks had him. I think 24/7 Sports had him pretty high, like 130, 140 in the country. I think Rivals had him lower. I don't think not quite three stars, but when you're evaluating, and I've been down this road before, you have to have differentiators, and sometimes you look at body type and you're like, well, that guy's gonna have to reshape or whatever. And when you do that, I think, and I've made this mistake plenty of times, you tend to ignore what they're doing at that weight with that body type, or not ignore it, but factor it less. Would it'd probably be smart going back, kick myself in the butt on this with some guys. Probably be smart just to kind of say sometimes at some point in football it is what it is, and he is a very good player, and a very hard worker, and a great kid too. Noah Clark's always been a tremendous, for my guys that covered him as a recruit, tremendous to deal with. Really. Fantastic guy, and a guy out of D-line heaven in North Carolina, Durham. That's a spot. The triangle, Research Triangle's not always been kind to South Carolina in recruiting, but there's players there all over it, especially in Durham. And I think Jordan High School always puts out guys. So Noah Clark, that's number six. And then seems like it happens this way, right? It happens at the deep positions. And this is a good sign for depth purposes, because there's some guys, when you're breaking all this down, you hear about all the time, and you're like, eh, probably going to be pretty good. When it's universal, probably going to be pretty good on the field while you're trying to guess with all this stuff, right? Noah Clarke would fit into that category. Everybody mentions him. Then there's a lot of smattering of other guys that pop up every now and then. You don't really know how good they're going to be when they match up with SEC competition and Clemson. And that's kind of with the 9-game schedule now, it's going to be what it is every year, SEC plus Clemson. The 10 games that are difficult or that will have a higher level of difficulty than the first two. And you know, guys pop up and you're like, but you still think about it at a position in a room where you hear different guys all the time. If you don't have one guy or two, like Tomiwa, Gabe, and Kelby and Noah, I've heard about those guys. People have been buzzing about those guys all the time. So you feel real safe with them. If you don't have a guy like that, if it's just one different guy every day, you kind of scratch your head. You're like, well, I don't know. It's kind of back and forth. None of these guys are proven, up and down, up and down, up and down. But then in rooms like this, you'll have your main guys that you hear buzz about. But then if you start hearing about the others, and this is happening with receiver too, and this is why Shane Beamer told Jamie Bradford that, I can make a case for every one of those receivers playing. It's because they're good and you have depth, and so they flash at different times. That's what you want. I think that's when you're reading the tea leaves, you want the tea leaves to read that way. And so Aiden Harris, another freshman, higher rated than Clark, top 100 guy out of Weddington in Charlotte, his brother, Andrew, is on the team as an outside linebacker. Aiden flashed in the scrimmage, man. Now he's 6'2", 285-ish, kind of like Kelby Collins, very quick and naturally strong, and a player that could certainly handle going in there. If this were a different year, he may be top 4 or 5. But right now, you'd probably pencil him in at 7th. And then a couple of second-year guys, Caleb Williams coming off injury, Christian Ingram's developing. Those guys were, Caleb's probably would have been one. Caleb's probably one that if they didn't have all these other guys, he'd probably be ready to go play, provided he's healthy, because that was what set him back, was an injury. He got here early before the Citrus Bowl last year, and was really doing some good things, and then injuries kept happening. And then Christian Ingram was a late pickup out of Covington, Georgia, taller, longer guy. Came into his own, senior riser, the rare senior riser, Carolina. He had offers from all over the place. I think ultimately the last two standing were Kentucky and Carolina, but Southern Cal, Georgia, a lot of big schools offered him. But then you get into NIL and stuff with that sometimes. It's like, well, you can come for just a scholarship, and then, well, you can come here and make a little money. They're going to pick the one with a little money. But they're both working and, haven't heard too much about them, but I'm assuming, let me be correct on that, because you never know. We may have a Xavier Leggett in 2020 situation on our hands if I'm, oh yeah, they're practicing and they're not, I haven't heard much about them other than feedback I got a while back. But they're still in the mix. And so that gives Travion Roberts a 9. I think there's some walk-ons there too. In this room, you move forward, you got John Archer coming in from North Carolina as another D tackle. Some of these guys can come back next year. It's a room that is in as good of a shape as it's been on paper at this university for a long, long time. And that includes when you had NFL guys 2 years ago. Now, is somebody going to play at a high level like TJ Sanders? Is somebody going to be like amazingly in the right place at the right time with turnovers and the ball skills that Taka Hemingway had? Who's now with the Raiders doing good things? You're going to have a guy that takes it from one level to another, like Nick Barrett. I think that's going to happen all throughout the room. But those are all questions we can't answer right now. As far as can this D tackle unit be as good as it was in 2024? I know it's deeper. I mean, it was a pretty deep group back then. DeAndre Jules, had he not had some banged up situations, injuries, he would have played a whole lot that year. I mean, they were able to rotate guys in and out with Boogie right there as the first guy off the bench, and then DeAndre. There were a lot of Porter got in. Rodarius Porter got in for a while. He's at Rutgers now after a year at App State, and played well. But this group, I mean, as far as body types and athletes and guys out of high school, everybody wanted. I mean, think about this. Now, Troy Pikes was not a heavily recruited guy. He ended up at Georgia Southern. He's one of those inner city Atlanta sleeper types. Jordan Thomas was top 100. Noah Clark was top 200. Kelby Collins was top whatever at edge. Tell me why it was a three-star Gabe Brown Lodini top 10 player in the country. So out of high school, all these guys had upside. And then, of course, Aiden Harris is a top 100 guy. Caleb Williams was a four-star. Christian Ingram, a high three. So these guys, rep-wise, out of high school, all had some tools that the evaluators liked. To a certain extent, I think with Troy Pikes, it probably was just nobody saw him. He kind of flew under the radar. And there's too many players out there to get everybody. But if you look at his portal recruiting, Georgia and Ohio State wanted him. So there's some validation, some on paper. I'll be glad when we don't have to talk about on paper validation. And that's coming up in 11 days, folks. But the D tackles, man, after the feedback from the scrimmage the other night, and just looking at it, looking at the players and the feedback, I think this is a room that there is some certainty to. Every college football program in America has positions that are uncertain. Carolina's no different. But this group, this bunch, folks, they could do some big things collectively this year and individually, because there's a lot of talent there and they got the right guy coaching them. All right, don't forget, catch me on the show later, ITG. The middle morning show will be in. I think we're going to have a drive around the SEC with Mike Morgan today. And then the show with Phil and I on a terrible Tuesday. The next time we celebrate Terrible Tuesday, we'll be in game week, folks. And it'll be Beamer's first press conference getting ready for Kent, right? So it's right around the corner. And I appreciate everybody listening. This has been JC Sherbert's Coffee. I'm out. Holla.